ready to receive from God with Jesus' joy. Join me as we welcome the servant of God, Apostle Joshua.
Good evening in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, very quickly, let me make two requests. Number one is that let me request that we observe a bit of silence when we begin teaching the word so that everyone can listen and we can follow in the name of Jesus. Then please help me one more time honor His Excellency, your governor. Please, let's give him a big hand clap. God bless you, sir. Such an honor. Hallelujah. And all who came with him, I honor you in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And then for our very own bishop, Bishop Foreman, let's honor him again. Thank you, sir. And his lovely wife. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we honored him, and it does not get too much to honor him again. Please, let's honor the Bishop of the Langkang Diocese. God bless you, Bishop Stanley, and your dear wife. Every man, every woman of God here, the Lord bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Can we lift our hands and ask the Lord for an encounter in 1 minute? Lord, grant us encounters by your Spirit. Speak to us, change our lives. Let Taraba State never remain the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to do this before we sit down. I just felt stirred in my spirit. Can we pray for Taraba State in 1 minute before we sit down? Are you in agreement? So please lift your voice in 1 minute and cry. Whether you are from this state originally or not, the Bible said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Please lift your voice. Those who are watching by television, those who are watching by internet, we are praying for Taraba State. We are using His Excellency as a point of contact. Alongside every man and woman of God, is someone praying? We declare peace over Taraba, prosperity over Taraba, joy over Taraba. Responsible young men and women are rising from this soil to the ends of the earth. Pray for the future of this state, not just what God is currently doing. Pray for the commissioners. Pray for all who serve in various capacities. Father, protect this state. Taraba will not be destroyed. I'd like you to rebuke the voice and the plot of terrorism and every plot of wickedness against this state. Someone declare it will not stand. In the name of Jesus, it will not stand. Mention the local government if you know and begin to declare peace and prosperity over the borders of this state. Let's extend our prayer to the men and the women of God who lift up the fire of revival in this state across denominational divides that you pray. Pray for every pastor you know. Every man, woman of God, you know, Father, fresh fire upon every altar in Taraba. The rain of evangelism, the rain of righteousness, the rain of character. Let every altar be a place of encounter, miracles, signs, wonders. We rebuke the spirit of premature death. No church of the Lord Jesus Christ goes down in Taraba. Finally, I'd like you to pray for all the citizens of Taraba. doesn't matter whether Christian, Muslim, whoever names, whoever calls and names the name of Tarama, I'd like us to declare, Father, show me, preserve, if someone pray, north, south, east, and west of Tarama, we declare the covering of grace upon this land. For in Jesus' name we pray. According to scripture, we go into the city to not only pray for our leaders, but to pray for the territory wherein we are domiciled. Hallelujah. If it goes well, we all rejoice. If it goes bad, whether we like it or not, we will have a share in that thing. Hallelujah. So let it be a culture to always pray for Taraba State. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you and please be seated. Let me, with the permission of His Lordship, and as I would always do during my final session, I requested that we come with our prayer requests. We are going to be praying over them at the altar. So please, whilst I am teaching, here's a chance again for those who were not able to write. How many of you are here with your requests? Let the devil see it, because this will be the last time you will be holding those requests. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, without distraction, if you are yet to write, please do well to write your prayer request. And our executives who are here, this is before the Lord. We are going to be praying it. So please, that which you are trusting God for, you can do well to write it somewhere in the course of the service. We'll have it here, and we'll be praying that the God of heaven will arise for us. In the name of Jesus. And for your loved ones who are connecting, those who are following by television, I'm sure that you should have a way of sending in your request. And if not, you can hold it as an act of faith while we are praying and trust the God of heaven to arise for us in Jesus' name. We began our discussion yesterday night from Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, the Bible says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection." And the Bible says, "Great grace was upon them all." We did establish yesterday night that it takes great power to bear witness of the resurrection. A witness, we said, is a validator of a claim. When you go to the court of law, a witness is not needed until there is a contention. Is that true? When somebody is contending a fact or the reality of whatever it is, the judge will often ask you to come with your witness. So the Bible says it takes great power to bear witness. If we must let our nation, our territory, our city, our regions know that Jesus is Lord indeed and that He's alive, it will take more than good preaching. It will take more than intelligent communication. There will need to be the backing of the power of God behind the things we say if we want to see soul saved and territories changed. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Then we went further to begin to discuss a few keys that can help us be witnesses of the resurrection. If it is true that God has mandated us according to John 1, 6 and 7, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that we are witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even unto the uttermost part of the earth, we must know the spiritual keys that are responsible for commanding power in the life of an individual, even to begin to walk in the supernatural. We looked at the first key yesterday, and we called it an experience with God. That the first key, the first non-negotiable requirement, if you are going to command power with God and to be an effective witness of His resurrection, whether in politics, in business, in career, and more especially in ministry, the first non-negotiable requirement is that you must have an experience with God. Let me recap on something I did mention yesterday, that the God you experience is the God you will reveal to your world. The God you experience is the God you reveal to your world. You cannot reveal a God that you do not have an experience of. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, the church is full of so many people, and respectfully speaking, including we preachers of the gospel, there are many propositions we have brought without the grace and the understanding to defend. So we say God is many things that cannot be captured in our lives. For instance, we say God can heal the sick. For instance, we say God can turn lives around. And people shout amen to that proposition, but the power to back it and make it a reality is often not there. Hallelujah. With great power, he gave witness to the resurrection, and great grace was upon them. When I answered the call of God upon my life, I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, do not send me with a message alone. The world you are sending me to will need more than a message to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus. Especially in a time where there are all kinds of options. Hallelujah. If you are telling somebody to stop going to the shrine and stop bowing to some kind of idol, you must bring an alternative that has proof. Until and unless you are able to prove that the alternative you are presenting is superior all wise, nobody will listen to you, especially in such a generation as this. If we are together, say amen. Amen. So we need an experience with God. That was the first point we established. And then we discussed three keys that can help an individual have an experience with God. Number one, we said genuine hunger for God. I'm doing a quick recap over yesterday's teaching so we can connect from there. You want to have an experience with God so that you can command power with him to be an effective witness. You will need genuine hunger and thirst for God. According to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst in this sense after righteousness. It says, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. It says, and ye shall seek me with all your heart, and you shall seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. You want to have an experience with God, you must love him more than ambition, you must love him more than preaching, you must love him more than power, you must love him more than titles. There are many people who use God as a ladder to climb to the realm of relevance. But then when you want a genuine experience with the God of the Bible, the jealousy of God demands that he becomes your absolute obsession if you are to command his presence. Are we together? Number two, intense prayer and fellowship as the second key that connects you to having an experience with God. You will need to dedicate yourself to moments and sessions and seasons of intense prayer and fellowship. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 says, follow me and I will answer thy prayer, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I did point out yesterday that the primary assignment of prayer is not just for receiving things, for requests and petitions. Primarily, prayer was designed for the transformation of the believer. According to Luke chapter 9, when you read verse 29, the Bible says, and as he prayed, the key to Jesus, it says the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became white and glistening. So you can pray a weak version of you to become a strong version of you. You can pray a carnal version of you to become a spiritual version of you. Prayer is powerful. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible says he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says to pray without ceasing. In other words, be consistent. Are we together now? James 5 and verse 13, it says, if any man afflicted, let him pray. And then he gives us an individual who personifies the power of prayer. He says, the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Then it says, Elijah was a man of like passions like us, but that he prayed earnestly that there be no rain for a space of about 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. So he was able to shut the heavens and open the heavens in and through the power of prayer. Someone say prayer. Any territory that is not committed to the prayer ministry is the territory that will be chiefly given to the devil. Are we together? The Bible says, giving no rest for them, he established Jerusalem as a grace. I sought for a man to stand in the gap that I would not destroy them, but I did not find any. There needs to be a fresh awakening, even of the prayer ministry in our land. And that will happen in the name of Jesus. And the third, like we said yesterday, the third key that connects you to an experience with God is high-level spiritual illumination. This is a kingdom that thrives on light. Light. Light represents knowledge and illumination. John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God made many lights, but he made two great lights. One to rule the day, and the other to rule the night. Light always rules, I said yesterday, whether it is in the day or in the night. Hallelujah. The degree to which you sustain spiritual intelligence and high-level spiritual illumination, that is the degree to which you will be open to the things of the Spirit and even command power with God. There is a relationship between knowledge and dominion. You cannot walk in dominion in ignorance. So Paul was praying over the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. He prayed and bowed to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking that they be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Amplified says, flooded with light, that ye may know. Knowledge is important. Very, very important. High level knowledge. When Satan came to Jesus, Jesus did not come to him saying, I fasted, I prayed, I'm a man of God. The very weapon that was used to defeat Satan was, it is written. John chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, when you read from verse 4, Satan came to him and he said, it is written. It is only what is written that you know that will become your bailout system. If it is written and you do not know, you will still suffer. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, he says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The rendition of Amplified says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. He says, rise to a new life. Is someone learning? So three keys that can help a man to have an experience with God. Number one, genuine hunger. Number two, a consistent lifestyle of prayer and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And then the third, your passion and your search for knowledge. Now let's go to number two. When you have an experience with God, the next most important step as far as being empowered to be a faithful witness to the resurrection is concerned, is you must understand how to walk by faith. Please write it down. You must understand the law of faith. In this kingdom, the Bible clearly tells us time and again, four times in scripture, that the just shall live by faith. The first we have is in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The just shall live by faith. The second, if you care, is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The just shall live by faith. The third is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. The just shall live by faith. And the fourth is Hebrews 10 and verse 3. The just shall live. Did I get that right? Please search it for me. 38. Hebrews 10, is that 38? Yes. 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Four times in scripture. And four prophetically is the number of balance. Are we together? The just shall live by faith. That means faith is not an issue of being a preacher. It's more than even an issue of being a Christian. It is literally your lifeline. It is how the economy of heaven operates. Please, lend me your attention. Because if you do not know how to walk by faith, there is no guarantee that you will accept life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul is mentoring the church and he begins to teach. Guess what he says? Now faith is. He's giving a definition to the quality and the character of faith. He says, now faith is the substance of the things that are hoped for. He calls it the evidence of the things that are not seen. Then he says, for by it, that faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the walls, is the Greek word eons, they were framed by the word of God. We were not there, but we understand through faith. Someone say faith. Let the devil hear you say faith. It is important for us to understand that it takes faith to remain indomitable and to be able to subdue the cohorts of Satan, the vicissitudes of life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God, the Bible says, hath overcome the world. Then it says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It takes more than sincerity to walk in victory. You can be well-meaning, you can be sincere, you will still be defeated. The Bible is full of very innocent people who were victims of situations and circumstances. In this world and in this kingdom, it takes more than innocence to try. You can be as well-intentioned, as well-meaning as you may wish to. But it takes faith. What is faith? Let's define it very quickly. What is faith? I have two definitions here, and please, I want you to write them down if you can. Faith is the name given to the action we take based on our conviction of who God is and the integrity of His word. Faith is the name given to the action that we take. The name given to the action that we take based on our conviction of who God is and then the integrity of His word is called faith. In one word, faith is obedience. In one word, faith is obedience. Faith is not knowledge. Faith is not believing. Believing is part of the equation of faith. You can believe and yet not manifest faith. Are we together? There are many, many, many people who are believers, but there are few people who are walking in faith. I don't know if I used that example last year, but even if I did, let me repeat again. Two well-dressed gentlemen, please come. In fact, three. Let's make it three. Come. Very quickly, let's appreciate them as they come. Thank you. May God bless you in Jesus' name. You stand here, sir. Just stand facing me. Please stand here, sir. You stand here, sir. Now, all of you watch. Just stand facing me. Here's your place. Now, watch this. I want to show you what faith is. This is what you want to purchase. Hold this, please. This is God right here in our example. Call this breakthrough. Call this healing. Call this lifting. Call this whatever you want. The whatsoever thing you desire. Are we together now? Now, God has told you, if you come to me, I will give it to you. This gentleman here is going to believe, but not walk in faith. But this one will believe and walk in faith. Let's see the difference. This is the mistake that many continue to make in the house of God. Now, I'm going to ask you, the condition to obtain that, please lift it up, sir. This is what you are looking for. And the condition to obtain it is that you go and receive it. Are we together? So I'm playing the role of the Holy Spirit. And I've told you that if this is what you have, the condition is to walk there. Keep saying you are going, but don't go. Are you seeing him now? He has believed me, but he does not have it because he has not manifested faith. He is not doubting me. He knows that what I've said is right. Please keep talking, sir. Look at him. 2001, 2002, 2003, 2010, 2015. He is still here. 2017, 2019. He believes me. And yet he does not have it because he has not fulfilled the condition. Now, this gentleman shows up in 2020 and receives it. And I said, listen, the condition is to walk there and go and collect it. Stand behind. He's coming from the back. This my man has been here for 10 years. Are we together now? You come from the back. The condition is, do you believe me? Say, I believe it. Go and collect it. Now, hold on. This guy will be angry and say, but it's not fair. God has been believing you. And he says, no, it's not just about believing. It's the one who walks in obedience. Until the obedience factor is honored, you are not walking by faith. Please go back, sir. Give me the Bible again. I want to simplify the subject of faith. There is nothing complicated about the subject of faith. You can be this man right here or this man in this service. I can assure you there are these two groups sitting here. This is why many people get angry and frustrated. Why does God seem to honor certain people and then others remain this way? I can tell you the same Lord is rich unto all. Having the readiness to judge every disobedience, the Bible says, when your obedience is complete. So for instance, if that is prosperity, please lift it up, sir. And among the many principles that have been allocated for prosperity, let's use two. Number one is giving. Number two is value and diligence. If you are a giver, you will have some measure of results, but you will be surprised that you will not be sustainably wealthy because giving is not the only key. You are fulfilled one. You will be having trickles of testimony, but you are not valuable. The Bible says a diligent hand shall be made fat. You have done one part of it well, but you have not completed it. So you find out that your financial life is epileptic. And then this person now comes to fulfill everything. He is a giver, giving to the house of God, giving to the man of God, and then in addition, he discovers his gifting and refines it. Now favor can work for him. Because there is a relationship between competence and favor. Are we together? Listen. Every time it looks like God is not answering you, there is something in your faith equation you are not doing. Either there is bankruptcy of knowledge, or largely bankruptcy of obedient action. You can act in disobedience. It is not faith. Faith is not just any kind of action. It is obedient action. If I ask this gentleman to come here and he walks away, he is acting but not in obedience. Is someone learning? God bless you. Thank you, gentlemen. May God bless you. Let's appreciate them. Please write this down. If you desire to walk by faith, you must understand the power of instructions that is found in the Word of God and the power of obedience. Please write it. These two things, very important. You cannot act in ignorance. If I have not given you an instruction, the difference between walking around and obedience is that one must be demanded for. Is that true? Without a demand being placed on it, a madman is walking around. You can't say the man is walking in obedience because nobody asks him to walk around. But if I ask you to come and you are coming, you are not just walking, you are in obedience. That means the foundation for obedience is knowledge of what God demands. Deuteronomy chapter 28, please, from verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all that I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee, Taraba, high above the nations of the earth. The next verse says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord. You see that there is a condition here. To hearken, to do. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Popular scripture that we quote about success. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Follow carefully. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You don't stop there. That thou mayest observe to do. Is it in your Bible? The purpose of meditation is so that you have comprehension. You know the role that you have to play in committing God over that matter. Observe to do all that is written therein. It says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. You must find out what God has said concerning every area of your life and then obtain grace from God to walk in obedience. You must find out what God has said. When Satan came to Eve and Adam in the garden, the first thing he was interested in is what God has said. Because until Satan knows what God has said, he does not have any ministry in your life. He wants to know what God has said. That becomes the basis of his making you walk in disobedience. Satan cannot make you walk in disobedience until he knows what God has told you. Disobedience has no value until there is first room for obedience. Is that true? Until I give you an instruction to obey, I cannot say you have disobeyed. So the value of disobedience is derived from the potential for obedience. Is someone understanding tonight? Hear me, believers. Hear me, preachers. Hear me, politicians. Hear me, captains of industry. There are no guarantees in life. We live in a world that is obsessed with guarantees. Unfortunately, there are no guarantees anywhere. Nobody promises you that you will start a church and excel. No. It takes faith for you to believe that I will start a work and then someone will come. You can build houses in Taraba there. Nobody comes to sign an agreement with you necessarily that you are going to find tenants in your house. It will take you believing in God and taking that risk. At the back end of every life of exploit is a risk. Let me spell faith for you tonight. Are you ready to learn the spelling of faith? Please write. Here is the spelling of faith. R-I-S-K. You are not in an English class. Let me spell it again. R-I-S-K. That's the spelling of faith. Let's do it one more time. R-I-S-K. Don't write that in Y-N or whatever, but it's just... Next time you are spelling faith, don't spell it as F-A-I-T-H. That is English. When you stand before your destiny, that spelling will end you with zero. You need to understand faith as R-I-S-K. Madam, what is the guarantee that six of your children will be great? R-I-S-K. The only insurance is the integrity of God's word. We live in a world that is full of fear and obsession for guarantees, putting burdens on men to do what only God can do. Can I tell you, if you will ever raise the dead, you must have the courage to stand before one. If you will ever build a house, you must have the courage to stand before an empty land, even if what you have is 10,000 naira in your account. Waiting for guarantees will only waste your time. I speak to someone, the spirit of fear that has stopped you from moving, I rebuke that spirit now. Please sit down. There are many people who will never build a house giving flimsy excuses. All I have is 100,000. I have a plot of land. There are people who will never be able to make progress. I want to start the school, but what is the guarantee that students will come, little children will come? Nobody had any guarantee anywhere. And woe betide anybody who puts his strength in a man, hoping it will be guaranteed. Because by the arm of flesh, all of us as men are limited. It is the verdict of God about us. No exception whatsoever. They looked unto him and their faces were lightened. Are we together? Some of you, after this service, you should go and register that company.
Yes, sir.
Where is the money? Start with what you have. The signs follow. They don't go before. I conquer the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Man of God, it's time to go and start looking for a land for the church. Apostle, but we've not done any launching. Who told you that is the way it starts? It comes by faith. Prove to God that you believe him enough. Hallelujah. A gentleman was getting married and he forwarded the list to my mail. I called him and I said, don't ever do that again. I deleted it. I said, you cannot trust God. Don't. Spiritual fatherhood is not a call to bear a burden of not listening to me. I've been preaching for a long time on faith. Don't you dare send any list to my mail. That's irresponsibility. Are we together? There are some of you here looking at me, you are 40, you are 45, you are still in your parents' homes. Get out of that place after this conference. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, go and enter the one room like that. No mattress, no nothing. Take a step of faith. God is a God of caution. You are not the first to rise. When we unnecessarily overpower a generation, we will produce weak and irresponsible people. I hope we're still friends. Let's spell faith one more time again. Ready? One to go. Apostle, I know it's the will of God for me to learn how to drive, but to stand on the road. If you do not sustain the courage, make your mistakes and let the car swing from left to right. Otherwise, you will never be able to drive. Champions are not invincible people by default. They were able to stand before the mountain. Let me tell you this. One of the ways that God builds faith in us is to bring you face to face with what you are running away from. I know you will not like what you just heard. It does not happen all the time. But one of the ways that God builds courage is to carry what you are running away from and bring it before you. You can look at it long enough, you will no longer fear it. By the time the landlord tells you tomorrow, if you don't pay that rent, except I'm not the landlord, you will be in prison. There is a way you can pray and fast and all your uncles, your numbers will be busy. You will summon the courage for the first time to stand before the landlord and say, sir, I'm not irresponsible. You will be surprised that that conversation may be what will trigger you getting a job. But if you run away in fear, someone is receiving faith to stand before certain mountains. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. When mountains stand before you, don't run. Also, don't be too quick to fight. You fight with knowledge. Goliath did not just run. David did not just run to Goliath. But at least he stood there first. There was a conversation and an understanding was established. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and shall be true. You've heard my story about the first time we were going for a crusade. We didn't even have the money. We went for the crusade. And right there, the place we were staying, we had not paid for it. And yet, I was, you know what it means for a preacher to be preaching, and the people you are owing are also in the crusade ground. The sound system you have not paid for. They are hearing you shout about a God who is able to heal and watching miracles happen there. Who is the God that can take somebody out of a wheelchair, open blind eyes, and cannot pay us our 150,000? What kind of a God is that? But it takes courage. Some of you today, it looks like you are in need, but tomorrow you will give to nations.
in the name of Jesus. Some of you will set up foundations in Taraba that will be of international repute. I prophesy this to you in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God. Hear me. When you see people failing while they are taking action, don't laugh, because you will bite your finger in shame. There is something called failing forward. I always teach that if a plane is flying and you leave the front seat and go back to use the restroom, are you going backward? The plane overall is moving forward. Even though inside the plane you are going backward. So just because you are having momentary failures, don't let the devil come and tell you, man of God, you agreed for the ministration. You stood there and all your rehearsals of your sermon and the verses just disappeared. Make the mistake there and learn. Come and stand before us and make the mistake. At least we love you. So we'll see you and say, no problem, you can. That you disgrace yourself before the world. In the name of Jesus, I shake unbelief. Someone pray 1 minute. Pray 1 minute. I shake unbelief. Every fear. Fear of being misunderstood. Fear of being controversial. I shake it in the name of Jesus. Be strong and of good courage. My guarantee is the word of God. My guarantee is the integrity of the word. Someone prophesy to your destiny in the name of Jesus. My beginning may be small now, but I decree and declare my later end shall be great. Man of God, prophesy. Ministry will not kill me. In the name of Jesus, I will rise and I will thrive. I will be an effective witness. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. Just help us under the anointing. We're about to worship. And I tell you, behind every glory you see, my dear people, there is a story. Anybody, run away from people who don't have a story of how they started. Don't share who they are. And can I tell you, when you are mentoring people, don't just show them the crowns, show them the scars. It is the scars that give value to the crown. But tell them you just got your first car like that. Let them know you feel too. Let them know you pray too. Man of God, let them know you fasted too. Most people dishonor results because they do not understand the process that leads them. Oh, it is just a vision. I'm sure God was speaking now. That is the language of mediocrity. Unfortunately, our generation is full of these kinds of people. You trivialize results and say you are just talking. This man, how did he just write? So God just showed grace. Really? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But he said, this grace was not showered on me, in that I labored more than you all. You are here in this meeting now. I came in and I heard a gentleman giving a testimony. I don't know if it was a dream or physically that he had to cross the river or something like that to come here. I sat down and I said, look at the effort. He will receive an invitation tonight. And God, listen, God will change his life. And in 2 years, he will become a great man of God. And then someone will say, we were lucky. Lucky to cross a river and come to a meeting. If you don't like me, I'm sorry. Let me apologize now. But I have to drop it into your spirit. Don't disrespect results when you see it. Results are testaments of endurance. When God trusts you with honor, trusts you with grace, let the people around you understand the value and the price that came for that to happen. Are we ready? So number one, you must have an experience with God. And then number two, you must understand faith. Forever in your life, if you are going to walk with God, please hear me. I'm seeing several people standing and outside standing, you know, such an overflow outside. These people have a choice to be angry and go home. but they made up their minds that whether they exist or not, my destiny was changed. That is faith right there. Those outside shout hallelujah. Many years ago, I was already being used by God, and God was already helping me by the privilege of His grace. But I remember traveling down to Jos, the late Reinhard Bonnke was coming for a crusade. And then I came down to Jos. I wanted to experience, I had seen a measure of grace upon his life that I desired sincerely. I would have said I'm also a man of God and remained here in arrogance and not grow. I came for that crusade. The first day I saw such a move of the Spirit, there were healings. By the next day, I said, even though I'm a man of God, I will drop all that title. I must look for something to do to honor that grace. When you are hungry, man, nothing else distracts you.
Yes, sir.
I stood there on that crusade ground for 6 solid hours. And you know his crusade, you don't sit, you stand. I saw them wheeling people in wheelchairs and all of that, and I pleaded, I said, please, can you allow me, let me also participate. They said, well, there is a committee that has been trained. I said, whether I committee or no committee, you don't know where I came from and what I'm looking for. As I was pushing the wheelchairs, I said, Lord, this is how it will be in my meetings. I have honored one who you have helped like this. Let me give you the last key, because we have a lot to do. Fire is falling in this place. The last key that controls commanding power in a generation and in a dispensation to be a witness of the resurrection is the place of spiritual empowerment. Oh, please pay attention. If you have been sleeping, now is the time to wake up. Spiritual empowerment. Please give us Psalms 89 and verse 20. Psalm 89 and verse 20. May I please request that we read together? We are reading from 20 to possibly 24. If you can see it projected, let's read together. One, to read. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exult upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. The last verse. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn. All because I found him and I anointed him. Can I tell you this? In this world that we live in, if you do not understand the ministry and the administration of the anointing, the ministry and the administration of spiritual power, you will not last. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but the only language that the realm of the spirit understands is the language of power. Please journey with me for the next 5-10 minutes, if you will, as we explore the dynamics of the anointing, the place of spiritual power. God will open your eyes, and afterwards we'll pray. You came here sick, be ready to wave that sickness goodbye. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whilst you are seated, I'd like you to pray 1 minute. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me see.
Yeshua, Yeshua, please pray, young and old, male and female.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Story. Once upon a time in my life, I sat down and I watched sincere and well-meaning preachers preach the gospel with all their hearts. And while I looked across the length and the breadth of the auditorium, I could see and I could perceive sick people. I could see and I could perceive people who were in desperate need for God to come through for them. And respectfully speaking, I saw these preachers wrap up their messages. They said many wonderful things about God. And I saw that it was true based on scripture, but there was no performance. And we shared the grace and left. I saw the sick go back sick. I saw the oppressed go back oppressed. I would even see people cry while they spoke, and yet nothing happened. And I said, what kind of a God is this? Who would not be able to show up in the midst of his people and turn the lives of people around? And then later on, I would see people who I knew, either them themselves or their parents, were involved in some kind of idolatry. And I saw them returning with a semblance of results. I said, something has to be wrong. Let God be true and all men be lies. That desperation and hunger to understand the reason why it seemed like God did not show up in the midst of his people led me to a pursuit, a journey that began with hours, translated to days, to weeks, and to years. To cut the long story short, the Bible says, for everyone that seeketh, find. Finally, I found the key that the missing ingredient was the anointing. That many people had good messages. Preachers, please let us listen. Many people were sincere, integrity and character, and yet they lacked the spiritual wherewithal. Now, if I told you, for instance, physically, if I tell you now that I am thirsty and you do not have money in your pocket, you can sympathize with me and say, Apostle, I will do all within my power to make sure you have a bottle or a cup of water. Is that true? But whether you are able to purchase it, there's water everywhere, especially in a state like yours. However, the purchasing power is not there. So I can stand thirsty and watch shops and malls that have bottles of water and not be able to access it because the power to obtain it. The healing you are crying for has always been there. The breakthrough you are crying for has always been there. The testimony that becomes a consolation to your Christian experience has always been there. But ladies and gentlemen, midwifing your desires and their manifestation is the ministry of power. If you cannot access the requisite level of power, not just power arbitrarily, power works like money. If you are hungry and you have 10,000 naira, I think you have enough to be able to get you a good meal. But if you need a car and you have 10,000 naira, you have money, but not money enough to buy you that car. Some of us have tested power, but not enough to purchase the dimensions of spiritual reality that we seek. Man of God, hear me. You are a blessing to the degree to which you are able to access power. So much of it that you can now attend to the needs of God's people, providing supernatural solutions as of when needed. Now you will understand Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Here's what the Bible says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He says, he went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It took more than being the Son of God to heal and to deliver and to turn lives around. Are we together? Somebody say power. Every prayer request you have written there will require power for it to be solved. Do you agree with me?
So the Bible says grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and so on and so forth. Grace and peace can be multiplied. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where we looked at earlier, he said, "But you shall receive power." Jesus himself knew the necessity of spiritual empowerment. And he told the disciples in one of the accounts, "Tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power." Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, angel Gabriel comes to a young virgin by the name Mary and now brings her glad tidings that she would be carrying a son without knowing a man in the flesh. And this baffled her. And Mary said, "How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" Gabriel replies in verse 35. He says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Is that in your Bible? "And the power of the highest shall overshadow you." Man of God, how will your ministry rise from where it is not right now to the place of prophecy? The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Mama, how will you be able to fend for 10 children now that your husband has transcended to glory? The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Until an individual has encountered the overshadowing of the power of God, that person will rule very, very little for the kingdom. You cannot be able to bend the purposes of God in the strength of the flesh. It takes more than that. I hope you know that when I talk about power, I am not limiting it to just falling down and standing up. I'm talking about the capacity to produce results that are beyond the realm of science, beyond the realm of man. It is only marvelous in our eyes if it is the Lord's doing. There are two reasons why we need spiritual power. Please write. Let me give it to us very quickly and then we'll begin to pray. I already sense the power of God in this place. Number one, the first reason why we need to be anointed and we need the anointing in ever increasing measures is to subdue the forces of darkness that continue to fight against our lives and our destinies. Please write. The Bible did not leave us in the dark as to the fact that we are not alone in this part of God's kingdom. To subdue the forces of darkness that fight, that militate against our destinies, that militate against the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Please write it at the top. Do you know? Provided you find yourself on earth, having passed through the womb of a woman, you are a potential candidate for an attack of darkness. Whether you are innocent or not, even if you are Jesus, for as long as Jesus landed here in this side of God's kingdom, as a baby, Satan did not even spare him. Because he was born, did you not hear that there was a cry in Ramah? Children from 2 years and below died simply because Satan was looking for one person. Satan is that determined to destroy your destiny. If it means him killing everybody who can help you to get you, he will do it. Most people, I don't mean to scare you, but I have to be sincere with you. Most people do not know that this earth that we walk in, the Bible says, "For the whole earth lieth in wickedness." Who did I offend that all this is happening in my life? Ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to offend anyone. Who will be more innocent than Jesus? Yet he remained an object of Satan's attack until he died. Man of God, do you believe that the forces of darkness will watch you continue to win souls, transform people, turn drunkards into men of God, turn prostitutes into women of virtue, and hell will cross its hand? Businessman, you think the devil will continue to watch you excelling and then helping the poor and the needy with the resources and fold his hands? Politician, you think the devil will watch you continue to rise and make policies that better the lives of people? Oh no, we need to wake up. Jesus said, "I will build my church," but he says there will be one contender. He calls it the gate of hell. You don't need a prophet to tell you your life has always been under attack. Your life remains perpetually under the radar of darkness. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I have to tell you the truth. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Then Jesus said, I have come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, he said, while men slept, the enemy came and planted. Satan is also a farmer. You can go to bed and wake up with sickness that you did not remember having before you went. Another farmer has come to plant something. Hallelujah. Why do we need the anointing? To subdue the forces of darkness that fight against our lives and our destiny. Psalm 66 verse 3. It says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I knew of a gentleman, the only son of his mother. True story. He just finished and he graduated with a very good result. He came to collect, I think, his statement. While he was returning back on a bike, one car just came, and that was how he claimed that gentleman. He died instantly. Don't tell me how can I lie, Shiria. That is the plot of darkness to destroy that woman. Did you not read in your Bible a widow called the widow at Nain? All the men in her life who could support her, the devil was taking them away. Her husband had gone. Her only son was about to go, and Jesus said, no, this is too much. Someone must get angry this night and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I cannot continue to watch the devil plague my body, plague my ministry, plague my business. For as long as you keep giving excuses, you empower darkness to destroy you. Hear me. There are many champions and giants who are prophesying Taraba. Some of them today are in their palace. Some of them today are somewhere else. The madman in Gadara had the destiny of an evangelist. The devil knew that that was an evangelist, and he caught him and bound him and hid him. And while that man was bound, 10 cities were under captivity because the evangelist anointed to bring them to Jesus was bound. As soon as Jesus released him, what of the woman, the prostitute who was by the river? That woman had the power. Help them, please. Help that gentleman. Can I tell you the truth? It is not only God who sees your destiny. The realm of the spirit can see your destiny too. Ask Moses. Ask Jesus. The attack in your life is not just because you are an enemy. It's because of where you are going and the destiny is connected to you. Please hear me tonight. That attack is not just about you. Don't just blame your manager. It's more than job. It's more than politics. It's about destiny. You are the covenant keeping God. You are covenant keeping God, Yahweh. I cannot begin to tell you the attacks and the things that have come to my life. I always wondered why. Now I know. Every time Satan attacks you, don't flatter yourself to think it's all because of you. You are too small for that dedicated attention. He's looking at something beyond you. Mama, the attack is not about you. It's about the womb that will carry the next prophet in Taraba. The barrenness is not about your marriage. You must find perspective to spiritual things. Politician, the attack is not, I don't care what political party, that's not the issue. The attack is not about you. It's about something connected to you. The day you come to give your life to Jesus, it's not only the preacher and members who saw you. The realm of the spirit saw you. So what his father could not do, what his grandfather could not do, now he will be the one to lift up the banner of the gospel. No, we must fight him. Someone shout, no way. Shout it again. Say, no way.
Hallelujah.
Hear me. Taraba State, every attack on your state is not about the state. It's about the destiny. Let me tell you the truth. Satan is so busy, he does not waste his energy for nothing. When you find a dedicated, coordinated attack, even military intelligence and secular intelligence tells us, when you find a thief roaming around a man's house, he is aware that there is something there. A thief will not be climbing a fence that is so high only to pick 10 naira. That labor is too foolish for that amount. He said the thief cometh not but for to steal. That means before Satan attacks you, he must verify whether there is something to steal, there is something to kill. So his attack to your life is already a sign that there's something God put in you that you do not even know yourself. Woman of God, the fight for your ministry is not just about you. It's because of many women in Taraba who your ministry is going to liberate. Men of God, I want us to pray. You see, the attack on pastors' children and all these things is not just because the parents are irresponsible. Satan knows that there is no other way to present such a bad light to the gospel than the minister himself having those stigmas. I know some of the most responsible parents, and from nowhere a child will get up and start doing something that is a shock to everybody. But in the name of Jesus, anything that does not name the name of Christ, I came by this mantle tonight over Taraba, over your life. It must give up tonight in Jesus' name. Sit down. The second reason why we need the anointing, why we need spiritual empowerment in our lives, is to help us fulfill our God-given assignments and advance the purposes of the kingdom. Please write. To help us fulfill our God-given assignments and then to advance the purposes of the kingdom. The second reason for spiritual power, to fulfill our God-given assignments and then to advance the purposes of the kingdom. It takes more than a desire for evangelism for the purposes of God to be frontier. It takes more than discovery of your call and your potentials for you to head forward. There must be the backing of heaven, the investment of God's jealousy upon your life. Otherwise, you will not go forward. Hallelujah. There are many people here who have discovered their place in life, politically, in ministry, in business, but the power and the force to push it is not there. Watch this. If my assignment, please, I want you to look at me, lend me your attention. If my assignment is to carry this pulpit, divine assignment now, to carry this pulpit from here to here, knowing that this is my assignment is only step one. But whether I have enough energy to now carry it, I can remain here forever for all my life and not be able to lift it. I am not in ignorance about God's expectation, but the power to make it happen. Hallelujah. Again, with all due respect, can I charge those in governance and politics? It takes more than a good heart to be able to bend the purposes of God. It takes a dimension of spiritual power. The ushers are collecting the prayer request. Please, you don't have to be distracted. Just gently pass it to the last person if you can. Nobody is going to read it. And if you are still writing, do feel free to write. Nobody reads it. We are praying and then it will be burnt. Hallelujah. Please hear me. Doctor, it will take more than MBBS for you to advance the kingdom of God, have your own hospital, and bless people in Taraba. You will see the limitation of the knowledge of this secular system if God does not help you. Hallelujah. By the way, let me tell you that every request that finds itself here
I want you to start waving it goodbye in advance. Because as far as the God of heaven is concerned, you've had the testimonies. You will never have to write it the second time again. Are we together? There are two principal channels for receiving the anointing. Let me wrap up now. Two principal channels for receiving the anointing. Channel number one, you can receive the anointing directly from God through encounters. Please write it down. You can receive the anointing directly from God through encounters. Directly from God through encounters. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible tells us the person who anointed Jesus. It was not John the Baptist that anointed Jesus. It was not some prophet somewhere that anointed Jesus. The anointing of Jesus came directly from God. How God anointed Jesus. Who anointed him? God. How God anointed Jesus. So God can give men direct encounters to anoint them. You've heard of my testimony, many of you, my encounter with the Lord Jesus. Fortunately, we live in a time today where, you know, people just claim they have met Jesus, they've gone to heaven, and you cannot see the evidence of that encounter. It's not for me to judge or condemn, but I know a lot of them are alive. I can tell you by the authority of Scripture, and even by my experience. Sometimes it's just pressure that we men of God have so that we can add some mysticism to our life that will translate into respect. But we don't have to lie. The word of God itself can, you know, we have to be sincere with. If you have not seen an angel, you have not seen an angel. It doesn't mean you are a demon. If your eyes are not open, your eyes are not open. It's a simple, let's not make a fool of ourselves. If you have not gone to heaven, you will still go if you are in Christ. So I mean, what is the life of? If you have not seen Jesus, it does not mean you are a demon. The word of God is there, the logos of God. Maybe this is a word for somebody who is already preparing to tell another lie now. God is warning you in this conference. It is unnecessary. Let's restore sanctity to priesthood. If you have not had the encounter, don't feel bad. You are not a demon. You can serve God with the integrity of Scripture and live a life of that is of impact. Hallelujah. But it doesn't mean God does not give people experiences. Believe me. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me, I had an encounter directly with him. And it changed my life. It took me more than 1 year to recover. I could not be myself again. What is this? How he entered my room is still a mystery. I could look at any part of him forever. This is the Jesus preachers were talking about. This is the Jesus I sang and preached about. Now he come to me and I was like it was like a total stranger. My God, when you see him, you don't need to tell people you see him. What will happen to you, bah? It will be clear to everybody that it's not a human being you saw. Believe me when I tell you. He didn't need a door to enter. The Creator, the one who holds matter, and he stood and I was watching him. He did not tell me anything, yet I was understanding what he was saying. Very strange mystery. I understand what the Bible means when it says the entrance of your word gives light. That was where I learned, you heard me say it, that you do not have to talk to speak. Spiritual transference can happen even without your mouth opening. And the high point of that encounter is when the Lord himself stretched his hands towards me and a beam of light entered into me as though it would kill me, but it did not kill me, because light does not kill. The light of God. And after that experience, that was it. This Bible opened from Genesis to Revelation. That's it. In another encounter, I have shared it with you here, that the Lord spoke to me And he said, my son, from today I will give you my presence as a gift. And I'm in this vision and I see this being standing before me. And he said, this angel will walk with you. And I said, what is his name? And he said, he's called the angel of the Lord's presence. This is the reason for some of these manifestations you see. I'm taking time to share with you because of what is about to happen now. So that you do not think that everybody went to collect power or charm. There are people who fear God. Not everybody is a demon or a false prophet or this. No, no. It's important that I emphasize that. Hallelujah. And the Lord made a statement. He said, to every city and every region and every nation that I will send you, there must be someone in that meeting who the fire that came, the light that came from me to you, you must transfer that light to them. I have not failed in that assignment. Everywhere God grants me the privilege to go to, there must be someone in that meeting who came for that meeting to receive more than a sermon, that divine light that can open up destinies. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, please help them. My God. There is a lady who will shout loud right now under the anointing, and the power of God will begin to move. Please hold them. Now, please hear me. Let me just give us a few instructions because we are getting straight to the ministry right now. Please, if I do ask you to bring people out, may I please request that you limit them from here down that way, from here down that way. Let's respect His Excellency, the Cabinet and the Bishop. I believe in honor. Are we in agreement on that? So that we can also help the security. But we are going to pray. Listen, for as long as God has brought you here, I want you to know for sure you are face to face with the glory and the grace of God that will turn your life in a way that you cannot imagine. Now, the final way you receive the anointing is by impartation. Impartation is the process that transfers spiritual possibilities from a career to one who desires it. Impartation is real. You can return back home with an anointing you did not come with. Impartation is possible. The Bible says he sent a word to Jacob and it lighted upon him. Every time God sends a word to Jacob, he intends it to be lightened upon Israel. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul was mentoring the church in Philippi and he said the last sentence, he says, ye are all are partakers of my grace. Every time, just help those under the anointing, the Spirit of God is already moving. Every time the anointing of the Spirit is given to one man, please hear me, the goal is not to make superstars out of men of God. Believe me when I tell you, the days of superstar Christianity and some of this malhandling of the word of God with immaturity is coming to an end. We must come to a point of maturity where we understand the purpose of the anointing. The purpose of the anointing is not just to show that a man of God is anointed and he's great. Hold on please, just a moment. If you are taking them out, just take them. I hope we have ushers. Now please hear me. When it's time to minister, whether you are an usher or not, you see that there's a crowd of people. Please do help them so that we minimize anyone's injuring themselves and all of that. This is not some Pentecostal gibberish. This is God stepping in over a territory and over a people. Hear me. After tonight, watch what happens in your state. After tonight, watch what happens in your church. After tonight, watch what happens in your destiny. I've seen the power of God in my life. I have seen the power of God from regions to regions. I do not boast and claim to know everything, for I am and remain a student myself in the school of the Spirit. But when it has to do with spiritual power, believe me, I know what I am saying. Tonight, there are two groups of people in this place. Number one, there are those who will sit back and argue and say, wow, what a great man of God. I'm impressed hearing you quote scriptures, and this man looks like he's anointed. And then not receive anything. But there are others who came with hunger and said, Lord God of heaven, I missed it last year and I paid for it for 1 year. Now you have come again. Don't make the mistake of Jacob. In chapter 28, Jacob had an encounter where his father had built an altar, or his grandfather had built an altar, and he did not have the discernment to maximize it. He said, the Lord was in this place and I knew not. The next 20 years of his life would be pain in the house of Laban. By the time we get to Genesis 32, he was wiser. He dismissed his wife, his children, and there came to him a man again. He held him and said, leave me for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, for as a prince you have had power with God and prevailed. Thou shalt be called Israel. And he blessed him and touched the horn of his thigh. The Bible says, then the sun arose and he called the name of the place Peniel. So I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. There are preachers who will catch fire this night. There are businessmen who will be restored this night. Hear me. There are some of you in government. God has a great destiny for you, but the grace to take you there is not yet there. Takes more than campaign and more than this. Believe me. Until that grace is upon you, you will only be recycling pain. There is an anointing called a kingmaker anointing. No king anoints himself. In the next 2 minutes, I don't know how you are going to cry to God, but I like you from the depth of your spirit. In the next 2 minutes, cry and say, Father, that grace that must come upon my life to be a witness of your resurrection, whether in ministry, whether in business, whether in politics, I'd like you to pray from the depth of your heart. Pray from the depth of your heart. Those following by television, pray. Someone pray. Mama, pray. It's time for you to carry a mantle. Man of God, pray. The power of God is resting on people now. Please begin to bring them out. Whether you are an usher or not, just help us. Hello, the Madonna. Hello, the Madonna. Hello, the Madonna. Hello, the Madonna. Whether you are an usher or not, if someone is under the anointing, please help bring them out and then you can return back to your seat. Please pray. That grace is falling on someone. It's time for a change of story. It's time for Saul to become Paul, even by the Spirit of the living God. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with faces unveiled, beholding him as it is in a mirror, we are changed from glory to glory.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now hear me. Please, I want you to be sensitive. We are getting to the point of the ministration now. Whether you are inside or outside, the power of God comes upon someone close to you. Please help, so that there is a reason why I ask that they bring them out. It's not for show. Now I'm seeing the number 31, and the Lord is taking away the spirit of delay. The power of God is coming on them. I decree and declare, at the count of three, everyone who has suffered delay here, I stand by the God of heaven in partnership with all the graces here. That devil must give way now. At the count of three, bring them out. One, two, three. I command that spirit. Go now. Go now. Go now. Delay. We come against you in the name of Jesus. Personal delays, corporate delays, institutional delays. I come by the rod of the higher priesthood. I confront altars. I confront gates. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. There are people here. Everything works for others until it gets to your turn. The moment it gets to your turn, mysteriously, you don't seem to be able to step into certain blessings. I stretch my hand. Let a mantle from heaven rest upon your life now. Help that man, please. Rest upon your life now. Help that man, my God. Help this woman. The power of God is coming on you, madam. You will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Bring them out. Now, the Lord is ministering to me to break the chains of untimely death. There are many families here. There is a track record burying loved ones before their time. Older parents burying the young ones. I don't know who is standing here, and there is an altar of death against your life. But in the name of Jesus, at the count of three, that devil must let you go. I don't care how many years, for the Bible says, blotting out every handwriting and ordinance that speak against us. Therefore, at the count of three, let the spirit of death leave you. One, two, three. Go, 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 go. Release your destinies now. Help them, please. Release your destinies now. Untimely death over Taraba State. We command be banished in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, please hear me. I want to say something that I do not want you to find offensive. There is a spirit around the Middle Belt that stems right up to these regions that does not allow anything that is started well to last beyond one or two generations. You will find a responsible and successful father, but there is no responsible son. We almost don't have third or fourth generation anything, because it looks like there is a spirit that aborts sustainability of impact. I want to rebuke that spirit right now. in the name of Jesus for every parent here, every captain of industry here. You will not labor for nothing in the name of Jesus. If there is any family here, help them, that has a child, male or female, that is giving the problem, the parents' problems. They have prayed and fasted and counseled. Some of them were sent abroad and they returned back in a way that brought pain to the parents. In the name of Jesus, from this meeting, may the angels of the Lord's presence go and fetch those children from the hand of Satan. In the name of Jesus. Now hear me please. I believe in deliverance, so there are wicked spirits that will not let people go. In one word, when I count three, I want you to shout the name Jesus. Please hear me. Any altar that is not of God, it must give way now. At the count of three, as you shout that name, I don't care how long it has been that has tied you down and your family down, tonight must be your night of breakthrough. Father, I decree and declare, it was this shout that brought Jericho down, a city whose gate was shut. The Bible says nothing will go out and nothing will come in. Are you ready to shout Jesus? Every spirit that has tied you by ancestry, by bloodline, it's time for your liberty. 1, 2, 3, shout Jesus. I command those devils, go now. Help them. Go now. Go now. Go now. Go now. I rebuke you. Release families. Release destinies. Release families. Release ministries. Release government. Release local government. Release regions. Release senatorial districts. We command those spirits. Give way now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Now please listen to me. I'm about to pray for the sick. It is a terrible thing to come from a background where there is a legal access to powers of darkness that can hold sway your life and rubbish you, and you are not able to manifest destiny. Let me tell you the truth. Some of you who are in government, it's not because you are here. I want you to mark what happens to you tonight. Believe me, your lives will change in a way that will surprise you. It is true. Hallelujah. Let me pray for the sick now. Hear me. I believe in the healing power of Jesus. I am a product of the healing ministry of Jesus. All those who have come out by the Spirit, I declare the legal hold of Satan over them. I stand in agreement and we stand as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are released now from every captivity. For the Bible says, even the lawful captives shall be delivered. I declare your release now. I declare your release now. Hallelujah. Now, please hear me. I want you to lay your hand anywhere you are trusting God for healing right now. If it's a part of your body you cannot touch, just make contact with your chest. I want to pray for you. I believe in the power of God. Jesus is real. He really is. He's alive. I'm about to pray for you now. All those outside and then those watching by television from any and every nation, lay your hands right where, and if you are with a sick person, maybe in a hospital, right now I want you to lay your hands. Creator of the universe, what can't you do? What can't you do, Jesus? You are the name above every other name. What can't you change? What can't you change, Jesus? Creator of the universe, what can't you do? What can't you do, Jesus? I want to pray now. Most sicknesses are caused by spirits. Beyond the medical diagnosis, there are wicked spirits that plague human beings. Listen, hold on please. Do you know why healing is important? I will tell you why. Healing is important because according to the law of creation, every human is only given one body per lifetime. You are not given two bodies per lifetime. You have only one body that is a legitimate host to you, the spirit man. And anytime that body is deteriorating, it is death making a proposal to your life. There is a requisite level of health that the body must have for the spirit to remain. If the body degenerates and deteriorates beyond that threshold level, the spirit will have to leave in the event you call death. So, every time God brings healing, it is his proposal to your longevity and health so that you remain and have a body that legitimizes you to operate in this side of his kingdom. Healing, therefore, is more than a demonstration of power from a man of God. Healing is an expression of God's love and God's mercy and his determination to see you continue and remain until your course on earth is over. Now you can receive, knowing what you are receiving. Please lay your hands and I pray for you. When I shout the name of Jesus, I want you to agree with me. Now hear me. We may not have all the time, but then we may just take the first five testimonies just to honor Jesus. There are dramatic miracles that will happen right now that have even already happened. I'm going to pray. As I rebuke those spirits, I'm going to give you room to check yourself. The moment you find out that a miracle has happened to you, I want you to just come and stand in front here or here. We'll have a few of the pastors who will take you. We'll take one or two testimonies and then we'll do a prayer on the request and then just speak over Taraba and we're done. It will be a very quick walk. Hallelujah. Lay your hands there and let's pray now. Please lay your hands there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now hear me. There is a man who is going to shout loud under the anointing. The moment that happens, the power of God to heal will begin to move. These are the leadings of the Holy Spirit. These are not things, they are not fabrications of a man. It's just the instruction God is giving me. A gentleman, a strong anointing, now is coming upon him. And at that shout, the power of God is going to begin to... Now I can begin to pray. I decree and declare right now, every devil behind sicknesses and infirmities, help them please, my God. I come against you in the name of he who died and rose again, and I declare, depart from the bodies of God's people now. Depart from the bodies of God's people now. I decree and declare, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Blind eyes, I command you to be open now. Deaf ears, I command you to be open now. Those who came here with crutches and could not walk, lift it up and begin to walk now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody who was brought on a stretcher, life to your body right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. HIV, be healed now. Cancer, be healed now. Sugar diabetes, be healed now. All kinds of blood related diseases, be cleansed now in the name of Jesus. There is a gentleman that God is healing. You have something like a growth around your neck. The power of God is touching you right now. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is showing me a lady or a woman, you have suffered pile for a very long time. The power of God is touching you right now. Heart palpitations, be healed in the name of Jesus. There are many people here I see according to my vision that have high blood pressure. In Jesus' name, we command it to go down now. There is a woman the Lord is showing me. I don't know what is your medical diagnosis, but they stopped you from eating salt. They said you should not eat salt. I don't know who that person is. I bring the life and the power of Jesus to you right now. There's someone you don't hear very well, or is it completely you don't hear with your right ear? The power of God is touching you now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lower back pain, I declare be healed now. There's someone, your hands, you're not able to move your fingers freely. There's excruciating pain. The power of God is resting upon you now. Now, every other issue, whether I mentioned it or not, someone just right here, just where I'm touching, there's severe pain that you've had there. The power of God is touching you right now. There is someone God is showing me, you are a man of God. When you stand on the stage to preach, the moment you start shouting, you start feeling dizzy, almost as if you are losing breath. It's a demonic thing. Be healed right now. Now, whether I mention your issue or not, I decree and declare, be healed now. Outside, be healed now. Online, be healed now. Within the auditorium, be healed now. Even for your family members scattered all around Taraba and the nations, may the healing power of Jesus touch them right where they are. In the name of Jesus. Now, very quickly, in 1 minute, I want you to check yourself. Miracles have happened and are happening. The moment you find out something has happened to you, courageously, a pastor, wave your hand. People are coming. Let them see you and then begin to come. Let's take a few testimonies. While that is happening, very quickly, can we have the prayer request here? If you are yet to submit your prayer request, can you wave it? Please be seated for a few minutes. God bless you. Let's have those who have been touched. Boldly, courageously, make your way to the front. Make your way to the front. Make your way to the front. Are you clapping for them? Jesus is touching people. Jesus is touching people. God bless you. For those coming from outside, please allow them come. Those who have been touched by the power of God. Let's have a few testimonies. His Excellency already told us that Jesus is a Nigerian, but that he resides in Taraba. So to witness the wonder-working power of that Jesus. Hallelujah. Very quickly, please.
Apostle.
Yes, sir.
We have a miracle here.
Yes, sir.
This chap here had a pain in the right side of his
What's stomach. His name?
God love.
How long have you had this, my friend?
Since last year.
Since last year. Where is the pain?
At my right hand side.
And now what happened to you? Bend down. Any pain? Bend down. Any pain? Are you giving Jesus praise? Completely healed by the power of God.
That's a powerful testimony.
Yes,
here,
please.
When you gave the word about a woman with pile.
A woman with pile?
Yes. She said the pile stopped and went to hell where it came back from.
Mama, how long have you had this? Let her talk.
For about 2 years now.
For?
2 years.
2 years. Yes. Medically verified?
Yes.
And now?
I even stood blood in the afternoon before coming here.
Come again. Please help us with our mic.
I said, I even stood blood when I went to the toilet in the afternoon today before coming here. And I came here with the pain. And immediately, we started praying. The pain just ceased.
Can you imagine? I prophesy to you that these Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. Yes, sir.
This is a case of a stroke. He came all the way from Gimbu.
He came all the way from
Gimbu.
Where is that? Okay, here in Taraba.
Yes, sir, in Taraba. About seven.
The mountain.
Yes, sir.
You are these mountain people. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Let him speak.
What happened to him? Very quickly. Please let him speak.
I had a stroke.
You came here with stroke.
Yeah.
You are aware. Give her the mic. He's your what?
He's my father.
He's your father.
Yes.
What couldn't you do, sir? Lift the hand. Look at this. Drop it down. Lift it up again. Help the lady. Drop it down. Oh, come on. Are you giving Jesus glory?
Are you saying
the miracle is beginning
like
to
that?
Happen? Sir, walk. Try to walk. Walk. Look at this. He came here with a stroke. In the name of Jesus, perfection for you. Even by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, celebrate the Lord. Oh dear, the power of God is on his daughter. Yes, please.
This is a drastic testimony. He had a swollen in his throat.
A swelling.
But when you gave the word.
Yes.
It took back to hell where it came back.
Completely.
From.
How long, my friend?
For 4 days now. For 4 days plus.
Okay, and it's gone now.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name, it never returns to you again.
Amen.
Very quickly, please. There is a woman here for 4 years. You have not had helper. For 4 years, you have not had the fruit of the womb. I know there are many people, but this person, that's it, the power of God. Who is that person? Your life is about to change. Helper, helper, you don't, please help them. I decree and declare, the Lord has revealed this to me. According to the time of life, by next year, you are returning with a baby boy. This is what I've seen.
Hallelujah.
Who is Maymuna? I'm hearing a name, Maymuna. Is there someone with that name? We don't have all the time. We have to work with time so that... But I'm hearing a name, Maymuna. And for that person, the Lord is saying that he's bringing an end to captivity. Maymuna. This is something that has to do with witchcraft over the family. I don't know where that person is, but in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that power of witchcraft is broken now. Yes, sir.
This is
the woman
case.
Is crying.
Yes, sir.
What
it's,
happened?
It's a case of 18 years. Of
18 years.
Abdominal
Let her
pain.
Speak. My God.
Hallelujah. I've been suffering from low abdominal pain for 18 years.
18 years. What couldn't you do?
I've seen so many doctors.
And right now, bend. Any pain?
Nothing.
Completely. Check yourself. Twist. Any pain? Any pain? Let's celebrate Jesus.
This is a case of a feverish condition. But while you were speaking,
what happened to her?
Fever. Severe fever, yes.
And the fever is gone. You heard the testimony of a dare, was it a man of God or someone who testified as I came in, that had a little baby. And the fever is gone now. In Jesus' name I declare you are healed and perfected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, please, very quickly.
Okay.
Hallelujah. For the past 5 days, I have a swollen. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. My husband can testify to that.
Where is your husband? Megida in Agage. Come.
I couldn't sleep.
Let's celebrate the husband.
I did not sleep. I know
is
what
he
I'm
here?
Saying. Yes. And I came from the office. came from the office very sick.
You came from the office?
Yes, very sick.
Where is the
sick.
Husband? Husband, is that true?
Huh?
Yes. And what happened to her now?
I'm here.
She disappeared. Yes. Look at this. Help her, help her. The power of God is on her. In the name of Jesus Christ. I say it again, the Egyptians that followed you here, you will see them no more forever. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's take two or three and then we'll head straight to here.
I was having ovarian cysts. I went to the hospital.
Ovarian cysts?
Yes. And I went for
surgery. Medically confirmed?
Yes.
For how long, ma?
It's about 1 year. Getting to 2 years now, precisely.
Yes.
And I went. My mother prescribed. I took medicine. The pain still persists. And they
ovarian
said,
cyst.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All my ovaries were affected.
All your ovaries?
Yes.
You see how demonic the devil is? You put yourself in this woman's shoes. I'm not a woman, but you can imagine the kind of pain that this our dear sister must have been going through. What happened now?
Immediately when I came, when you shouted that there is a woman that has pain, the pain just disappeared.
Press your stomach. Any pain? Any pain? You see, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is more than just showing that Joshua Selman is powerful. I will keep telling you. Are we together now? Yes. This is revealing that Jesus is still Lord. And that if he can do this kind of miracle, is it a job he cannot give you? If he can do this kind of miracle, is it honor or restoration he cannot bring in your life? So more than just looking at a man as a superstar, I want your attention to be directed as Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are only privileged vessels to be used by him. Do not forget this. Hallelujah. My sister, it will never return to you again. In the name of Jesus. Yes, please.
Amen. As daddy announced that no one is feeling pain.
I'm not sure we can hear her, whether English or Hausa, whichever is convenient for her. But
I have been passing through this infection problem for the past 11 years. I can tell that it is
11
school.
Years?
Yes, I can tell that it is schooling for the school. I said I'm going to make your schooling work. I've been going to this hospital.
I'm not sure I can. What did she say, sir?
What I'm feeling now is
yes, sir.
Huh?
She's talking about the power of God has come upon her. She's feeling...
Okay. In the name of Jesus, look at me, my dear. I decree and declare liberty for you, and complete healing for you. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you. That's the end of it. Let me hear that little girl's testimony. Girl, yes.
I had toothache.
Look at this. Smart Taraba babies. Let's celebrate our children. Look how composed and intelligent and smart. Some of you cannot stand in front like this and speak. You know what I'm saying. Yes, my dear. What is your name, by the way?
My name is Sophia Michael.
Can you see that? Taraba, don't tempt us to bring our children here for school. Yes, what happened to you?
I had toothache since 2018.
You had toothache?
Yes.
Since 2018?
Yes.
And what happened to you now?
When you said you should pray, and I began to pray, suddenly it disappeared and I'm not feeling any pain again.
Remember a beautiful song we used to sing? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. Yes, please.
Ear pain.
If they can't talk, help them.
She don't had
them
on the ear point. Pains.
Ear pain.
Yes, sir.
Baby, what is your name?
Gift of good deal.
What's the name?
Gift of
gift. What happened to you? Your ears. It was paining you before, and now it's gone. Hallelujah. It will never return again in Jesus' name. Okay, let's just have one, maybe one. Let's just have two of the children, then one adult. The rest can testify tomorrow so that we'll wrap up. Yes. Go ahead.
I have a throat pain.
And right now, what happened, baby?
When you said that I should pray, I prayed to you and the thing disappeared and I was still on throat.
Let's celebrate our beautiful baby. In the name of Jesus, you are healed by the power of God. Yes, madam.
Praise the Lord. I was having palpitation and a kind of heart
attack. Let's just have some silence so that... Yes, ma'am.
And a kind of heart attack. If I hear somebody
shout... Heart attack?
Yes. If I hear somebody shout, I would just feel shock. Kind of panicking. And always, my heart is always breathing abnormal.
And right now, what happened
I'm
to you?
I'm feeling better now.
Completely.
Yes.
It never returns to you in the name of Jesus. Now hear me, whether you had the opportunity to testify or not, inside and outside, we agree and we declare that your miracles are permanent. In Jesus' name I pray. How many of you believe in the power of answered prayers? The Bible says, unto thee that answers prayers shall all flesh come. So may I request, if you are not tired, those who are already standing, keep standing. Those sitting, please sit. Let's honor them. Just be sure to stretch your hand, whether you are sitting or standing. Stretch your hand prophetically as we pray over the request. Go ahead. Declare as you are stretching your hands, this is the most accurate representation of your desires. And the Bible says, what things soever ye desire. It says, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest it and thou shalt have it. If we still have some of the requests, please bring them very quickly. We're about to pray. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Stretch your hands. I'm going to bow my knees and pray over the requests and ask the Lord Himself to visit Taraba. You love Taraba and you love everybody here. Please, I'd like you to pray in 1 minute. In the name of Jesus, shout a believing amen. Amen. Father, I stand in agreement with every man and woman of God in this place, and under this corporate anointing we declare every request that has been dropped before this altar, let it be turned to a testimony. Let it be turned to a testimony. Let it be turned to a testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. Every human agent who must come in partnership with God for this request to be answered, we decree and declare, may they come forth for your sake. In the name of Jesus Christ. And anyone who says over his dead body for this request to be answered, in the name of Jesus Christ, the earth will open and swallow them. I stand prophetically upon this request. Anything that has stood upon you and brought you pain and tears this night, here in Taraba, under the influence of the grace that is upon this assembly and this ministry, an end comes to it now.
Araba, lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lifted, ancient doors. I speak to the north, the south, and the east of Taraba. Every blood-sucking spirit, whether as terrorism, whether as manipulations of darkness, the earth opens to swallow them now. I decree and I prophesy, there must be peace in Taraba. There must be progress in Taraba. There must be advancement in Taraba. We use His Excellency as a point of contact and all the members of cabinet to pray for all those who are serving in whatever capacity. In the name of Jesus, on account of this program tonight, you will not fail. I pray for every home here represented. In the name of Jesus, the sound of mourning and shame comes to an end. We pray for every church that names the name of Christ in Taraba. Even though this is through the platform of the Anglican Communion, but they have so graciously opened up their hearts to include everyone here. Therefore, I declare, every altar in Taraba that preaches the name of Christ, let it be on fire for Jesus. Prophetically, we attract the attention of investors, both local and international, to Taraba. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. If there is anything planted in your soil to destroy the prophetic destiny of this state, I stand by the privilege of priesthood. In the name of Jesus, it is hereby nullified. The spirit of untimely death that keeps killing the youth, male and female, that evil report comes to an end now. Hear me. I pray for every elderly person here as a point of contact to our elders in Taraba. Anybody from 60 years above, we enter a covenant of life for the elderly in Taraba. There will be no longer untimely death. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray for the youth. In the name of Jesus, right from Taraba, we export you as agents of change. Go across the globe, educationally, politically, in ministry, in business, become captains of industry. In the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of cultism, prostitution, moral decadence, we bury it permanently over Taraba. Finally, I decree and declare that by reason of this conference, let Taraba become a light and a beacon even across the entire north and the nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Turn to someone by your left and right and congratulate them. This is a new me. It's a new Taraba. It's a new season of the supernatural. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now I want to appreciate one more time His Excellency and the Bishop and everyone who has granted me the privilege to be here. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray and I decree and declare that the Lord bless you. You will go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap.